If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. I'm in the book of Psalms. The songs of David. Amen. That's what the book of Psalms is. It's just songs that were sung in worship of God. Amen. For those of you that do not understand this, I'm going to give you a little history lesson. See, they used to sing psalms in the church. Just opened their Bible and sang from them. And then they came out with these newfangled songs that like to tore the church all to pieces because they started singing stuff called hymns. Hello? Don't look at me like that. I'm giving you exact history. Now we start singing some psalms and praise and worship again. And everybody, oh, I want to sing them hymns. That's the original songs. It ain't done it. The original songs are right here in the book of the Bible called the Psalms. Hello? I had one guy told me, I won't do it like they used to. I wouldn't mind that either, because the preacher would preach and then they'd sing songs before they left. How come y'all ain't shouting? I ain't sitting there, oh my God, he ain't going to do that, is he? We liable to. I'm liable to become Romanian. In Romania, they have two preachers every service. I love that. They'd have a guy preach and then they'd sing a couple of songs, then the next guy'd preach. And I never forget, I ain't never been chewed out but one time for preaching too short. And as in Romania on a Friday night, and it was like 9 o'clock when it was my turn to preach, and I thought, oh my God, I've got to get done. These people will leave. And about 30 minutes in my sermon, I stopped, gave an altar call, and 7 teenagers got saved. And all the adults in the church was chewing me out. And I couldn't understand them, so I thank God for that. But I caught enough to understand they were upsetting me about something. I asked the pastor what it was, and he said, why did you quit preaching? I said, well, my God, it's been 30 minutes in America. In 30 minutes, folks shut their ears up. He said, this is not America. I said, what are you talking about? I said, 7 people got saved. He said, they were more might got saved. You preach longer. I can't wait to go back. I got a 2-hour furlough for them. Amen. Oh, amen. I may practice it on y'all. In segments. Psalms, the 40th division. I'm believing God to minister to us today and help us. We live in some perilous times. We need to learn how to make it through them. Hello? Amen. See, I believe God wants us to be a light to a lost world on how we're supposed to handle trouble. Hello? That's good preaching. Some of y'all wonder why I'm saying hello. It's because I'm on the phone and ain't nobody answering on the other end. Glory. You ever been put on hold and you keep going, hello? Every time you hear it click, think somebody picked up. That's when I say hello, I'm expecting you to say amen or something. I got one that's called it. Psalms, the 40th division, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. For many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. Lord, we believe you to reach down and touch us with the anointing power of your Holy Ghost. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right now and say, hey, if you're in the pit, God's got a way out. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord today. There's some back that wasn't here last week. And my wife was asking me where they were at. And I told them, I said, it's homecomings and decorations. She remembers that because at Buell, first 3 Sundays in May, you don't have church worth a flip because nobody comes. They go bury folks. Glory. That's already been buried. Hello? Call it decorations, but it's just tradition. And they'd go up there, and some of them just didn't come to church because it's Decoration Sunday, so they just didn't come to church. I know, because I've been up there at the graveyard, and they wasn't there either. They just saw this opportunity to miss. So I went to decoration. They decorated the back of their eyes. Glory. Amen. But we do appreciate you being here. And those of you that went to decorations or homecomings, hey, you do that. Amen. Every once in a while, you got to miss. I'm so upset I'm not going to be here next week. Smile. Somebody said, oh, you told them? Hey, I remember one time my pastor was going on vacation. Somebody said, where's he at? I said, he went to get away from you. Glory. I love y'all. The next week, I'ma leave y'all. I'm going to see Mickey. Don't come to me after church telling me all the reasons why I shouldn't go. I've already bought the tickets and I ain't losing the money. Hello? Amen. But I am leaving on vacation next week, so do be praying for us that God will bring us back. Amen. If you need me, my cell phone will work. And I will pray for you. And if necessary, I will be back home. Hello? Notice I said that and I meant it. If I get back, somebody had a problem, didn't call me, I'm going to be very upset with them. Because this is my life. And don't keep me from getting blessed for something I'm supposed to do. Hello? Smile. That's good preaching. Amen. Glory. I want to talk to you this morning about getting out of the pit. Amen. How many of you have been in a pit of discouragement in your life? Hello? Stick your hand up. Come on. Everybody nod your head. Raise your hand. Vote for it. Amen. We'll vote for anything. Amen. But now notice this. We try to live our lives according to God's word. And, some preachers tell you if you live right, well, you're never going to have a problem. You'll never have trouble. You'll never have a trial. One of those same preachers had a heart attack. He never would admit it. He just said, I had an episode. Glory. So when you're in emergency and you're in intensive care and they have to do bypass surgery on it, that's not an episode. That's a heart attack. But he kept telling about it. I just had an episode. An episode is when you got, acid reflux or something. That's an episode. When you have a heart attack, you've had a heart attack. When you have major surgery, that's not an episode. But he told everybody he had an episode because he couldn't admit that he had a problem because it messed up his preaching. And the truth of the matter is, church, no matter how good you're living, you're going to have problems. I look at the New Testament and I see those guys that live for God. They were the ones that started the church. And man, they had all kind of problems. Let's face it. They were with Jesus, got in a storm. They were doing what they're supposed to do, going where they're supposed to go and got in a storm. So you're not ever going to live so good that you're not going to get in a storm. You might live good enough to get in a fire. Hello? What are you talking about? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fire because God could trust them in the fire. Amen. If he hadn't thought he could trust them, those kids would have never went to that fire. But they had a close enough relationship with God when they saw the fire in front of them. They said, hey, our God whom we serve is going to take care of me when I get there. And no matter what he does or not, I'm going to win either way it goes. And that's the kind of attitude we got to have if we're going to make it in this world. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. I read a story one time, it's in one of the books by Max Lucado, about a little lady had a little parakeet that would sing to her every day. Boy, she loved that little parakeet, named him Chirpy. And boy, he was just all over the place. He'd get in front of the mirror and sing to himself. He'd get on his swing and sing. All things was wonderful. And she was cleaning the house one day, and she was in kind of a hurry. So rather than clean the cage like you're supposed to, she just stuck the vacuum cleaner over in the cage to suck the bottom of the cage out. And she's there doing that, the phone rings, and without thinking, she leans to pick up the phone. And while she's putting the phone to her ear, she hears something go, thoom. And she turns and looks, and to her horror, Chirpy's gone. She throws the phone down, takes the bag, and it was one of those, one of those kind of had the bag in the vacuum cleaner. She rips the bag open, sure enough, there lays Chirpy. Dust all in his eye, he's all covered up. She jumps up and runs in the bathroom and washes him off. Then she realized, oh my God, the worst thing I can do is get that parakeet wet. So she takes a blow dryer and blows him dry. She gets through and she puts him back in the cage and he's not acting right, so she takes him to the vet. And the vet looked at him and said, let's watch him for a few days. He seems like everything's in place. But Chirpy never sang anymore. Even though he lived, he lost his song. And he just kind of abided till one day he passed away. And I want to tell you, that's really what's going on with a lot of people in the church. You had a great life and things were going good and you had a song and man, you were excited about living for God and everything was going good. And then all of a sudden the devil sucked you up with his vacuum cleaner and put you in a dark place, covered you up with his dust, and now you've lost your song. You're out walking again. Maybe life is doing okay, but you just don't seem to have that song in your heart that you used to have. And I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart, God's ready to bring some of you out of a pit this morning, put a song back in your heart. Amen. And I just come to tell you something. And I remember a guy named Job got told one time, his friend came by and said, hey, why don't you just curse God and die? And he was headed home and God gave him a message and he went back and said, Job, just forget everything I said. Just remember there is a God who can give a song in the night. And can I tell you, I believe God's ready to give a song to somebody in this building this morning, a song of deliverance, a song of power, a song that's going to let you go. Could you say amen? Amen. glory. You say, preacher, can you really lose your song? Psalms 37, verse 1. For by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept as we remembered Zion. For we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mercy, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now, these are people, I don't know if y'all have ever been around Jews or not, but Jews can throw down. We think we know how to have church. Alex, am I lying? Do they not know how to have church? You remember, they turned our hotel into a sanctuary. Put us out of the restaurant. We had to eat sandwiches that night. I was all set for some food and got down there and found all we had sandwiches because they turned the restaurant into a synagogue. And that motel filled up with so many people you couldn't move hardly without bumping into somebody. But they down there, they about 6 o'clock, they got started singing. And they'd sing a while and they'd stop and the guy'd read some scripture and they'd sing again. 3 o'clock in the morning, they still getting down. I slipped down, slipped in. I said, y'all mind if I watch? Guy said, you can join if you're sincere. I said, I just want to watch. Amen. 4 o'clock in the morning, they still getting down. I went to bed, finally got up an hour or so later and got down there. And while we were eating breakfast, you could still hear them in there. They still getting down. They still singing. They still having church. They still throwing down. The Jews are noted for being emotional people when it comes to their God. And now we see in the Psalms where because they've been carried into Babylonian captivity. I mean, man, they're locked up now. They've just watched Jerusalem be destroyed. They've seen their homes taken away. They themselves have been taken captive by the enemy. And the enemy's going, hey, sing for us. And all of a sudden they're going, how can we sing when we're in a strange land? And I think the devil's doing the same thing to people in our churches today. He's got us bound down in finances and messed up with social problems, and now he's up there laughing at us because we go to church, and though we sing some songs, we're doing it out of just because we're supposed to and not because we want to, and there's no real joy in our singing anymore. There's no real worship in what we're singing, and therefore the devil's laughing because he says, hey, you can't sing the song you used to sing. But can I tell you, I believe there is a God that can put a little song of deliverance in your heart and a joy in your life, so you come out saying, wait a minute, I don't care what happened yesterday. My God's still on the throne. My God is still able. My God can still bring me out. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. Job 23. Listen to what he said in the 8th verse. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him, and he hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. Have you ever been there? Well, you not only lost your song, but you lost sight of God. I mean, Job's got all these problems. Let's face it, you know, you had a bad day. That guy had a bad day. His whole family's wiped out in one day. Everything he owns is taken away in one day. That didn't happen in a month. It happened in a 24-hour period. His whole life just disappeared in front of his eyes. And now he's come to the place where he said, God, I look in front of me, you're not there. I look behind me, you're not there. I look to the left, you're not there. I look to the right, you're not there. Have you ever been to that place where you just fall on your knees and say, God, where are you in all of this? And I believe, church, that the devil likes it when people can't find God. But you know what? We got to understand we serve a God that's bigger than our problems. Even when you're down and out, in God, you can come back and win. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, there's some things you got to do if you're going to make it. Amen. Number one, amen, the Bible said you got to be patient and wait and don't stay discouraged. Hello? David said, I waited patiently on the Lord. Then when I waited patiently, he inclined his ear to me and he heard my cry. Glory. If we learn how to be patient on God, we can have some things. Hello? Notice what the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. What did he say? Those that learn how to trust in God, just wait on him a little while. Can I tell you, sometimes God hears your prayer and it don't happen just about the time you pray. And I don't know, y'all look type of people try to help God out. You pray about something and it don't happen, you decide to go help God out. I remember one time I was headed home from revival. It was on a Sunday night, January. It's cold and it's drizzling rain. And I made it to Duncanville, Alabama on Highway 82. And I had stole Frieda's car that morning. Mine had a flat, hers didn't. And I didn't have time to change tires. So I took her car. I drove to Selma to preach. I never forget, I was in such a hurry to change cars, I got to Selma and realized I didn't have my Bible with me. You in trouble when you're preaching and ain't got a Bible. I'm sitting in the back of the church and there's a Bible in the back of the pew. Thank God, somebody. I grabbed that Bible, went to the front, and I marked my scriptures, and I'm sitting there running my head through my points and getting to get my sermon together so I can preach that morning. And I got up there to preach, and all of a sudden this lady in the back just calls a big ruckus, "Somebody stole my Bible." I said, "Ma'am, is this it?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I borrowed it." Now everybody knows preacher ain't got a Bible. We made it through church that morning, made it through church that night. I borrowed a preacher's Bible that night. I didn't get to see him before church, so I just had to acquisition one. I got through church, I jumped in the car, and I'm headed home. And you know, the bad part about it was, Frida's gas needle wasn't where mine was. And I did not realize until I got on this dumb back road, headed towards Centerville, where there ain't nowhere to buy gas, that her car was floating on empty. And I'm praying hard, "God, help me." Now, y'all heard my testimony of my early life when I drove a car on empty for 200 miles. And I'm like, "Come on, God, help me." It wasn't his will. See, sometimes it ain't his will. I got to Centerville. If you've ever come through Centerville, the only place that might be open is a little store right on the corner of the interstate there at 82 where 5 goes under. And at the time, it was, is it Citco that belongs to Chavez in Venezuela? And I'll walk before I buy his gas. He wants to tear America down, he can do it without my money. Hello? And I proved it that night. Because all about Duncanville. Car quit. It's raining. Now, "God, help me. God, help me." This fella pulled up beside me, rolled his window down. And church, you got to understand something. When I travel, I don't dress and look like no preacher. Some of y'all don't. I've actually had people say, they see me in town, they say, "You don't look like a preacher." I say, "What's a preacher supposed to look like?" But you're not going to see me in a suit when I'm driving in a car, unless I'm headed somewhere where I got to have a suit on when I get there. And on the way home from church, I was in, I think I had a football jersey on that night, and I may have had a cap on backwards. And I'm sitting there, and I rolled the window down. The guy said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm out of." He took off. And I thought, that jerk. I know y'all wouldn't do that, but I thought the guy was just chiming me. I said, "Come on, God, you got to send somebody to help me. I'm in the middle of nowhere. It's raining. I don't see nobody." I get out the car and start walking. I'm strolling up the road. I've got a 20-ounce Coke in my hand, sipping it. They didn't have Mountain Dew when I bought the Coke. I found there was a house somewhere. I don't know where it was at, but there was a big old German Shepherd come up behind me, and he had to live somewhere because he was well-fed. And he come running up at me, and I laid hands on him, and then I laid bottle on him. He was trying to bite me, and I popped him in the head one time. He came back for seconds, and I hit him with a bottle. And if you're from PETA, I'm sorry, but you wasn't where I was at the time. I hit him with that Coke bottle, and he went down the hill. He was still alive. He run off. It didn't even break the bottle. That was one of them old glass bottles. It didn't even break. I had some more Coke to drink. I'm walking down through there. It's pouring down rain. I'm all upset because God ain't sent nobody to help me. All of a sudden, here comes Smart Aleck in the pickup truck again. He pulls up beside me again. I'm thinking, oh, man, this jerk going to get a second laugh. He leaned over, and now I'm wet. I'm cold. He said, "Hey, are you a preacher?" I said, "Yeah, why?" He said, "Well, get in. I'm supposed to help you." I said, "What?" He said, "God spoke to me to stop and help the preacher on the side of the road." He said, "You just didn't look like no preacher when I pulled up beside you back there." And said, "Then the Lord told me to go back and get you, and I come back, and you're still the only person I see." He said, "Come on." I got in the car. He carries me to where I'm supposed to get gas, told me he'd give me $10 to buy gas, and left. And my wife will remember this. The dude at the service station wouldn't take me back to my car. I had to call her in Buell, get her to drive 25 miles where I was and take me that 10 miles back to my car so I could put gas in it. But the dude did take me to the station. He said, what's the point of this sermon? I'm trying to tell you that even though I didn't see it, God was working behind the scenes to help me get where I needed to be. Amen. But I decided to help him out. And sometimes we don't wait on God long enough for God to get something done in our life. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. Some of us say, preacher, you're taking too long. Be patient. Glory. Point two, you got to get out of the pinch. You got to realize it is not the end of life. Joseph went to a pit in the book of Samuel. How many understand Joseph's pit was just the beginning of something great for him? And let's face it, it didn't turn around overnight. Some of you have been in a pit a while and you're thinking, oh my God, it's never going to turn around. Joseph went in the pit. But can I tell you, if you know you sold out to God, that pit's only a stopping place for the future. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Well, they took him out of the pit, sold him into slavery. Well, that ain't nothing to look forward to. Oh, he went from being a slave to prison. I mean, it's a downhill run. But the next thing you know, he's second ruler of the kingdom, put in charge of all the food, so that when daddy got to the point he didn't have food, he brought him in and fed him. Can I tell you, the whole reason Joseph went to the pit was because God made a promise to his dad, and a God that'll keep that kind of promise to a dad long enough to put his best son in a pit, take him to prison and bring him out and put him in charge. That's the God I want to serve, who said, wait a minute, Joseph, you didn't do it for good. Amen. God meant it for good, even though the devil tried to do evil, because I promised Jacob I'd feed him and I needed you there to take care of him. Just because you're in the pit don't mean it's the end of things. Job 33:28, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oft times with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Amen. Sometimes you're where you are because God says, you just need to see me in a different light. Glory. Hello. Listen, 1 Kings, we got a guy named Elijah. Y'all remember him, don't you? Oh, everybody knows Elijah. Y'all get him mixed up with Elijah. Amen. But those are two awesome prophets. I mean, if I asked you this morning to write me down a prophet of Israel, most everybody knows the Bible, going to put one of them two names down first. Because we remember those guys. Amen. Because they were anointed. They were full of the Holy Spirit. Man, they had a great life. Can I prove to you right now something I said earlier? No matter how good you live, trouble comes. Because, man, here's a guy, calls down fire out of heaven, laps up all the sacrifice. He kills all the prophets of Baal that are around him with a sword. And the next thing you know, we got a lady named Jezebel. And then Jezebel sent a messenger in 1 Kings chapter 19. Sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by the morrow about this time. All of a sudden, here's a guy calling down water out of heaven, shutting up the heavens to begin with. He's over there mocking the prophets of Baal. And now Jezebel turns around and said, I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow. Or God do it to me. And knows what happened. He takes off down to a place called Zarephath, climbs up under a juniper tree and says, kill me, God. I just want to die. You'll do it quick. She's going to make me suffer. Hello? This guy goes from the top of the world to wanting to commit assisted suicide. Well, he ain't going to do it. He wants God to kill him. And instead of killing him, God sends an angel to feed him. Lord. Hello? Come on, church. It's good preaching. He's down there wanting to die, and God's going to fill him up. Because he said, hey, you only halfway where you need to go. I got a journey for you. You're going to end up in the cave. Before you get out of that cave, you're going to learn something. Amen. And all of a sudden, the angel feeds him, and then he goes for seconds. That's why I know Elijah was Church of God. Glory. Hello? I know Church of God preachers. I can't tell you about them others. But Church of God preachers, they're going for seconds. Hello? And all of a sudden, the angel fed him a second time, said, you've got a long journey in front of you. And he ends up over on the Mount of Horeb. Amen. Boy, that'd be a great story if we thought he just went from the juniper tree to the mountain till you realize Horeb means desolation. So he takes him from a tree of depression to the mountain of total desolation. And he gets up there and he's all shook up, and all of a sudden God starts to try to talk to him, and he runs outside on the mountain and he sees the wind, but God ain't in the wind. He sees fire, but God ain't in the fire. The earth starts shaking, but God ain't in the earthquake. And he runs back in, and a still small voice said, Elijah, how'd you get here? How'd you get in this pit? How'd you get in this cave? He said, God, I've been very busy for you. Boy, I was doing great things, but now that woman wants me dead, and I'm the only one left. He said, oh, you ain't the only one. You got to get some of your eyes. There's a whole lot of folks ain't bowed there in need of Baal. And I've got them on the other side, and I'm fixing to release them. There's fixing to be revival. Here's what I want you to do. And he sends him out of that cave with a whole new requiem on life. Can I tell you, some of you have lost sight of what God's really trying to do? I mean, we got some people actually believe, I'm the only one. I'm out here in the front, and the devil just beating me up. Oh, come on, give me a break. Amen. You really want to find out what it's like really getting the front. Amen. Come on, church. The higher you go up the mountain, the harder the wind blows. Any of y'all ever noticed that? You ride up in the mountains, you'll find the wind blows a whole lot harder up on the top of that mountain than it does down the bottom. So the higher up the mountain you go, the harder that wind's going to blow. Amen. But realize you're not the only one. Everybody living for God's got to fight the same devil. Sooner or later, you're going to get a sucker punch from him. Amen. I told some folks one day when I was out here, I just found out I had cancer. The church had just got flooded. One guy come by and said, how you doing? I said, I'm having a great day. Glory. Amen. I looked up somebody and said, I just wish the devil quit throwing sucker punches and stand in front of me and let's fight it out. Amen. Come on, church, smile at me. I mean, I get tired of getting sucker punched. Amen. Y'all know how that turned out. We remodeled the church for free, which we was planning on doing. God made a way for us to do it. And by the way, all those bills were paid last week. Glory. Hello. Amen. That's why we need to pay the insurance, because that's what paid them. Glory. Hello? That's good preaching, Stroop. Amen. Just throw that in. Won't cost you nothing. Amen. And all of you know I've been declared cancer-free, so I wasn't up but a sucker punch, but I want to tell you something. I'm ready for a fight. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but now that I'm out of the pit, I'm trying to find the devil to put him in the pit. Amen. You say, preacher, you can't do that. Read the book of Romans. He said, I shall put Satan under your feet shortly. It's time some of you got on his head and started dancing a little jig and let him know I ain't taking it anymore. Hallelujah. Glory. Gotta hurry. Amen. I got one more point. The spaghetti ain't quite done. Let me give you this last scripture in 1 Samuel 30, just verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people were grieved, every man of his son and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. No matter how things get, all you got to do is say, wait a minute, God's still on the throne. God is still in charge. And if God's still in charge, I can make it. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, well, what good did that do? Well, 2 days later, David was king. I don't know about y'all, but he went from being discouraged to being the king. Amen. And all you got to do is just hang on. God's got something for you on the other side. Amen. Listen, if you lose your song, then write another one. Glory. Hello? Come on, church. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. His horse and his riders hath he thrown into the sea. For the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Amen. I hear David right now when he's writing in this psalm, and he said, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Why? Because I'm coming out singing. They're going to know my God is still on the throne. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. In the 18th division of Psalms, notice it, sometimes you skip that part where you read the start, but notice what it said at the very start of that thing. It said, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. David wrote this psalm after he read that 30th verse, that 6th verse of the 30th chapter. And listen to what he said. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Could you say amen to that? He said, the sorrow of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men are around me. But the sorrow of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevent me. But in my distress I called on the Lord and cried unto the God, and he heard the voice of the temple and my cry before him, even unto his ears. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Don't lose your song. Write a new verse. Write a whole new song. But come out saying, my God and my deliverer, my great and awesome God, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I could ever ask or think. Stand with me all over the house. Some of you need a new song. Something like, I'm free. I've been delivered. Or leaning on the everlasting arm. Holding to the hand of the man from Galilee. Whatever that song is, you need to get a new song in your heart. And you need to sing it before the devil and before the world and let them know, my God is real. Father in heaven, I thank you today for your love, for your mercy. God, I believe you to touch your people. God, minister to us with your power. Holy Spirit of God, take us beyond the veil into your presence. God, I believe you. In Jesus' name.